This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Welcome back to the program. Rabia Bluefin, Kelly McDonald. As mentioned earlier, folks, I would tell you, subscribe to the Kelly and Company podcast. And the easiest way to do that, use your favorite podcatcher. You can look for the show and take it in once you subscribe in segment form or the complete show where we throw on an audio vanity card at the end. Also, there's a few extras that we toss in sometimes during the full Kelly and Company podcast experience. But if you really just have a segment you want to go back, re-listen to, or prefer to listen to the show in that form, that's available along our podcast feed as well. Thank you for being with us on our Monday as we walk through the program. I'm kind of anxious to get into this very interesting conversation coming up here, folks, because we were just talking about film festivals. We were talking about online access to stuff because everybody's had to become so creative over the last year and a half.
Yep, that's right, Kels. And people have been doing it in so many different ways, some kind of familiar to us, some unique.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a story here about a couple falling out of love as Carleton University is delving into their first ever radio play. It also has a very interesting angle involving the students and the pandemic. Joining us to chat a little bit about it is Professor Jan Cleveland and student Rachel Stanley. Welcome to Kelly and Company, ladies. Appreciate you being with us. Jan, before we get into what the play is about, can you kind of tell us how this came to be in the first place?
Out of sheer desperation. And it turned out that it worked really, really well. Because obviously, these kinds of courses are meant to be, we have a small drama studies program, and these courses are the ones that are meant to get students up on their feet, to get them sort of experiencing what it is to move in space and how to take a script and actually make it become three-dimensional and live. And then suddenly we're in the middle of a pandemic and you can't even get together. So we kind of went, oh dear, what are we going to do now? And at the same time, I happened upon a Twitter announcement from our dean in the faculty of arts and social science, congratulating Quendi on his new role as director, executive director of CKCU. And I thought, oh, what about a radio drama? Nobody has to be in person. We could, I'm sure, have the technology to do this. So I reached out to Quendi and he went, oh, I think we could do something. Let's try it. And then it took off from there.
That is awesome. And see, there's certain things that just feel like they'd fit perfectly with the kind of projects that you're trying to put out, right? It's still pivoting, definitely, but it's something that sits like awesome because it goes perfectly. So Rachel, bringing you into the conversation, what kind of challenges did you face putting together this project, this radio play?
Oh, yeah. So from the beginning, we're all in different areas of Ottawa, and we're doing devised theater. So like this collective creation, we're always trying to find new ideas from each other. And so like when you're starting off with so many different jumping off points, we didn't really have a clear idea to begin with. So I found that through, I guess, grounding the work in certain aspects of the production of things that we created, was the best part to go forward and make the play.
You know, it's when you look at a script, you always start figuring out, okay, I'm doing this person, or this is what we've got. Even before you necessarily audition for a part, you do your study of it and stuff like that. With all that being a radio style play, before we get into asking Jan here about it, did you find, Rachel, that was it really different, the process of breaking that script down in your mind and visualizing it versus what one does for a stage production?
Oh, 100%. Because when you're starting off, you really think about space, right? You think about where it's going to be seen, where it's going to be heard. And audio is a different space that I haven't really explored yet until making this radio play. So I found it to be really daunting because I had been challenged on making art being confined to a Zoom screen, and so now I was going to be, you know, confined to the airwaves. And so it was really nice to realize that actually I wasn't confined. I was able to find an outlet that was able to really help me realize how creative I could really be.
So let's talk about what this play is about. Jan, do you mind explaining a little?
You know what? I think we should let Rachel explain that because she was involved in the actual process. I have listened to, I've had the advanced copy. So I've listened to the segments, and they're really fun, by the way, because they're combining the documentary aspect of how it came to be with the actual radio play itself in segments, and very cool. And I know it came out of a pandemic prompt. What about? And the title is great. A Little Too Maybe.
Yeah, I love it.
Because isn't that all of our lives?
Exactly.
Right now, right? But I'm not meaning to not say anything, but because Rachel was directly involved, I think she's the expert here.
All right, sounds good. So, Rachel, tell us what the play's about.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I would say the play's about two people, you know, who grew a little bit too close together and didn't realize that they were actually falling apart. It was based upon the ideas of vulnerability and not being heard. We really wanted to get the main feelings that we were feeling from the pandemic, this feeling of like uncertainty, this feeling of trying to get to know yourself again while you're in the midst of, you know, whoever you find yourself with at home, combined with a whole relationship there. So this couple is just falling out of love and I guess trying to find themselves within it.
So Rachel, as you guys put it together, and there's some options here and choices as we sit here as broadcast people, I wonder if they did it this way or if they did it that way. Did they have sound effects rolling while they were trying to do it? Did they just add them later? So could you tell us kind of about the elements and how that affected, as well as we were talking about script analysis a while ago, actual production of it?
Yeah, so we studied a Foley artist, you know, make the reproduction of everyday sounds, and so we decided to try out different objects to make sounds beforehand, and then from there we actually wrote some of the scenes. So inside the play itself, you actually might find some of those sounds that we did create. We filmed it all on Zoom using Yeti mics, and through that we were able to add the sound in later. We actually recorded it all over several hours over Zoom, and then we decided to input the sounds all afterwards.
How long does it turn out to be?
The whole play was, I think, about hour and 10 minutes. We cut it down to an hour, and so I think it'll be released over segments.
So do you think that this is just the beginning, Rachel, for these kind of opportunities at Carleton, and just, I guess, creating more audio-based things? I'm a huge fan, and so is Kelly, of audio.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Radio plays, audio dramas, you know, anything for the ear. So we're curious.
Oh, I would say 100%. The Carleton, you know, drama program, they really try to find opportunities for you to create, and any opportunity you can find to create. And I found that this was just an amazing opportunity for me. You know, I owe so many acting jobs to Jan, actually, and the professor, Rebecca Benson, because they were able to find me so many different opportunities to create. And I think for the audio dramas, I think definitely I'm going to go for this in the future. I was able to network too, and so it really helps to get this opportunity, especially as a student.
Oh, fantastic. Jan, what impressed you the most about the project post or as it was unfolding? And again, I know it was a bit of a different position for you in the sense of how hands-on.
Well, I wasn't terribly hands-on. I was in the background more or less orchestrating so that people could get together and get things done. And boy, did they ever. These folks are very, very creative. The drama studies program is essentially divided into two components. So on the one side, you've got, you know, your typical academic studies, and that's where I come in because I'm good at that. I'm not good at getting up on a stage and, you know, being an actor, but other people are, and we hire those folks who are theater professionals to teach the practical courses. So we sat down and over Zoom and said, well, okay, here's the idea. Here's what we can do. So Rebecca and I met with Quendi on a Zoom call and said, here's what we have. What can we do? How can we make this work? And how can we do something that gives us all something to be proud of and is a benefit to everybody? So in the end, there ended up being a really fun documentary that talks about what the radio station can actually do, particularly as a community partner, and what drama studies can do in terms of that kind of collaboration. And in this case, as Rachel was just saying, it was a great opportunity for students to learn voice acting, for example. It's not something that they would have studied specifically before that. So we brought in local actor John Coneskin, who's very, very good and has done years of this kind of work and has tons of experience. And he talked them through that and explained what you need to be watching for. So instead of, as Rachel was saying, looking for where is your mark in the space, where do you stand, you're thinking about where is my voice going? How am I projecting it? What do I want to convey vocally? And I think that was really exceptional learning opportunity for all of them.
And speaking of that learning opportunity, I think it's really great, too, that you mentioned, you know, the collaboration and what that could mean throughout. Because when we're in school, I found it really important to kind of get to know other departments, right? Or make sure that, you know, there's some partnerships happening, and it's not just radio is radio and TV is TV and journalism is journalism. Like, these are, you know, completely collaborative and also make for very, very unique projects, as we're seeing here.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't know what you can do by working with another unit that has a different skill set from what you bring to it. So this is a fantastic opportunity for us as well from the administrative side to say, well, what is possible? The only thing that limits us is our imagination. So let's just stop limiting ourselves and see what we can do.
For sure. And that's great.
I had a great time with it. These students were just so, they impressed me so much. And I cannot stress enough. People really should listen to the show when it airs. It's airing very, very soon. You've probably got the dates, but it's November, what is it, the 2nd, the 9th, and the 16th, I believe. And, like, it's a really interesting show, and it is specific to being centered in and around the idea of the pandemic. It's not a show, it's not about the pandemic, but it comes as a result of the pandemic. And like so many of us, our lives are all changing because of the pandemic, and we're having to look at things very, very differently from the before times. And that's not a bad thing.
No, it's so true. Rachel, if in about 30 seconds, what do you think the students took away from it?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, innovation for creativity, trying to find a way to make a story together, to really collaborate with our ideas and to bring them together, because it really truly brought us all together in the pandemic when we felt so alone.
Wow. And that's something so much to think about. I know as a theater artist myself, you know, and anyone like Rum was saying, who does performance anyway, you just really long for it. And it was a very dark time. Ladies, thank you very much for sharing with us and telling us all about it. And hopefully people will tune in. We'll put information up on our Kelly and Company blog, ami.ca/KellyCo. Good luck when you go and do another project. Take care.
Thanks so much.
That was Carleton University Professor Jan Cleveland and student Rachel Stanley talking about the school's first ever radio play, A Little Too Maybe. We're going to just take a quick break. It's time to bring Danielle McLaughlin on for Know Your Rights. A public school principal in the Niagara region posted a photo of herself making a hand gesture frequently used by heavy metal fans. Supposedly, emulating devil's horns. We discuss the reactions to this story with Danielle in just one moment.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.